Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I knew something was wrong the moment I woke up, not being able to recall what happened the day before I went to bed. I would ordinarily spend a couple of seconds thinking back on what had happened the day before as I shook my sleep off, especially on weekends after a couple of drinks. But as minutes passed with nothing coming to mind, a sense of dread filled me to the brim of my body. The sun shone brightly outside of my window, which in itself was an unusual occurrence, because there was hardly any light to be found around my home. The covers that were draped over me felt warm and inviting, and I had to turn away from the temptation of lying back down again, in fear that the feeling would never fade away. I enjoyed sleep, almost to an unhealthy extent, but now was not the time for putting my worries to slumber. I had to find out what the hell was going on. As I pulled the covers off me and got to my feet, my leg got caught in a piece of the blanket that hung from the side of the bed, and I fell unceremoniously to the floor. The second I made contact with the ground, the booming laughter of an unseen crowd echoed around me. I sprang to my feet and prepared to find someone else in the room laughing at me. However, I stood there completely alone, and eventually, the laughter reduced itself to silence. "What the hell?" I muttered, and began to search my room for any potential infiltrators that might have been responsible for the unwanted attention that I had aimed towards me. I checked under the bed, then the closet, and finally the outside of my room, yet I couldn't find anyone. When I continuously inspected through the space in search of anyone, the laughter abruptly came again, louder this time, as if I'd just been telling a joke to someone with too much enthusiasm. I snapped my head back again, thinking at that point that I was going absolutely insane. "Is anyone there?" I yelled angrily into the open air, hoping that my irritated tone would be enough to force whoever was there to reveal themselves. At first, I thought that it was my older brother, Ryan, who was responsible for this. Had he concocted some kind of idiotic prank to entertain him? This was just like him.
"Sweetie,"
came a voice from outside the door.
"Breakfast is ready. Hurry up or you'll oversleep again."
"Coming, Mom."
The words slipped out of me before I could hope to stop them. They just seemed to come out on autopilot. And I stood there in silence for what felt like hours, trying my best to piece together what the hell was happening. Before I knew it, I was already getting dressed, picking out clothes from the closet that I liked, and brushed my hair to look presentable in time for breakfast. Just as I was about to exit the room, my eyes landed on the phone on my nightstand. I picked it up and noticed that the screen was all static and making these weird noises like a broken TV or something. Suddenly, with a loud bang, the phone exploded into tiny pieces all around the room. And all I was left with was a pretty dismal piece of technology that could hardly be used for anything anymore, much less calls. "Well, this sucks," I said, and instantly, the echoes of loud laughing returned in my room. They were more rambunctious than before, and I could even make out what sounded like someone literally dying of a laughing overdose. As much as I wanted to stick around to try and locate the source, my body instead moved to the door, and I walked out the hallway and down the stairs to the kitchen without pause. I spotted my mother standing there with her back turned to me, washing dishes in the sink. Her hair was a golden color that hung loose down her back, and she wore one of her most prized aprons. "Good morning," I said, and sat down to a plate of sunny-side eggs and bacon before me. It was my favorite meal, and the scent was to die for. Without a moment to waste, I happily started digging into the food like a starved animal. As I ate, I noticed that the food didn't have any flavor to it, like eating paper, but I still ate it without complaints. While I devoured the food greedily, more laughing continued to echo around me, but this time I did my best to ignore it.
"Good morning, dear,"
my mother greeted me without turning her face away from the dishes.
"Did you sleep well?"
I paused, swallowing a mouthful of eggs before I answered. "I did."
"That's good. We wouldn't want you to be tired before your date with Jeremy, would we?"
A round of awes could be heard in the background from an enraptured audience, but I was far too surprised to give it much attention. "Jeremy." "That's right. Jeremy was my boyfriend. We started dating shortly before sophomore year, and we've been together ever since. He was a soccer player, and quite popular with the girls, which is why I was so astonished that he wanted to go out with me when there were girls way prettier on the field." "That's right. He was my boyfriend. How come I'd almost forgotten that?"
"When will he be here?"
I asked.
"Don't you remember?"
my mother asked.
"He'll be here in short of an hour, so you better finish your meal and get ready soon."
Then Ryan suddenly appeared from behind me and snapped one of the bacon pieces from my plate.
"Morning, sis,"
he chirped happily.
"Morning, moron,"
I murmured and turned to yell at him for eating my food. But his face wasn't right. It was distorted, filled out with white, gray, and black dots that flickered before my eyes. There were no facial features in sight, except for a wide-toothed grin that spread wider than any human's face would have allowed.
"What's with the weird face?"
he asked, his mouth not moving to pronounce his words.
"Can't catch your tongue?"
Another boom of laughter erupted around us.
No,
I began.
"But a cat did take my bacon."
"Shame." He sat down by the table, a seat away from me, and I couldn't stop myself from staring at his face, or lack thereof. Was I just seeing things? Or had I really gone crazy?
"All right, now you're creeping me out, sis."
"Did you do something?"
I asked uncertainly.
"And what would it be that I've done?"
I don't know, but you're always up to something,"
I said, picking on my food as I'd lost all my appetite.
"I thought I heard something this morning."
"Heard what?"
he asked.
"Laughter."
The room went completely silent, and I noticed that my mother had stopped washing the dishes, although she had been washing the same plate now for the past 10 minutes. Ryan didn't say anything, and his static face didn't allow me to detect any changes in his expressions. It was as if he had been frozen in time, and not even his chest heaved with his breaths.
"Hey, I don't know what's going on with you, sis, but how about we watch another episode of The Big Bang Theory to get your head where it's supposed to be?"
Ryan asked, completely avoiding my question, as if he hadn't heard it or simply didn't care. He got to his feet and began to make his way to the living room to prep the TV.
"Yeah, sure,"
I said, and picked up my plate, which had now been completely emptied of any scrapes or smudges of grease. It had been completely cleaned, right under my nose, as if nothing had even been on it. and yet I carried it with me to my mother and placed it next to the sink.
"Thank you for the food," I said, and watched as my mother turned her face to me.
It was static and distorted as well, flickering just like Ryan's face did. She had nothing there that resembled a human face. No nose, no mouth, not even a pair of eyes. It was all just wrong.
"You're welcome, sweetie,"
she said happily, and ran a hand through my hair. It didn't leave any water on me, even though she had just been washing dishes with them.
"Now, go join your brother in the living room. I'm sure an episode of your favorite show will cheer you up."
As she pulled her arms back to resume her seemingly never-ending task, I saw the many cuts and bruises that decorated her exposed skin. Some of the cuts were old and had blended in with her skin, but some of them were fresh and pouring with blood from her wrist, as if she had just carved on it.
"Mom?"
I asked, weighing my words with heavy deliberation.
"Are you all right?"
She was silent for a moment before she answered.
"Of course, dear. Whatever would be the problem?"
Nothing. It's just that I miss you." The last three words poured out of me, and I hadn't even intended for them to be there. Or had I?
"Why would you miss me, sweetie? I'm right here, aren't I? This is what you wanted, isn't it?"
Her voice suddenly changed to a deeper tone, almost sounding like it belonged to a man. But the tone was too distorted and twisted for me to recognize. All I knew was that it didn't belong to her.
"What did you say?"
I asked. But by then she had begun to wash the plate again, humming softly to herself as she did her chore with no worry in the world.
"Sis, I'm watching this without you if you don't get your big butt in here right now,"
Ryan called from the living room. I spent a second more looking at my mother, watching as the blood from her wrist poured onto the counter by the drops, before I cautiously turned to get to the living room. Ryan was seated on the couch, watching me anticipatedly with that unnerving smile still glued onto him. I nervously sat down next to him and aimed my attention to the TV, expecting to see the opening credits of The Big Bang Theory playing on the screen. But there was no opening. It was just static, flickering with monotonous colors just like Ryan and Mom's faces did. I hesitantly turned to ask if there was something wrong with the screen when he began to sing the tone of the opening as if it was playing in front of him.
"Our whole universe is in a hot, dense state when nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started."
And he continued like that until the end of the song. And not even a minute later, he began to laugh at whatever comedy sketch was happening in front of him.
"Oh, I remember this episode,"
he exclaimed, his unreadable yet smiling face aimed only at me.
"This is when Leonard's man comes to visit, and she makes Penny cry and everything."
"Right,"
I said, pretending to laugh, even though I couldn't see a damn thing except for distorted colors. We sat there for probably 15 minutes, not moving in the slightest, while I laughed in and between, allowing this make-believe to continue for a short while. Ryan then lifted his arm to rest it behind his head, and I saw the many puncture holes and scars that spread across his skin like freckles. I suddenly remembered. I remembered that he...
"When did you get out of rehab?"
I asked, the words feeling heavy as they exited my mouth.
"What are you talking about?"
He looked at me as if he had no idea what I was talking about, even though his face wouldn't allow any changes except for that hideous grin.
"Rehab? You really think that lowly of me, sis? You think I'm some kind of druggie? Is that it?"
His grin changed into a vehement frown that bordered on anger, but it could hardly match the kind I was feeling at the moment. Stop calling me sis. I yelled and got up to my feet, glaring at him as if my mind was finally my own. You're not my brother. What the hell's gotten into you? You've been weird all morning. Isn't this what you wanted? Like with Mom, his voice changed to a deeper one, and I stepped back in fear of what would happen if I stayed close. He turned his head back to the TV again, and for the first time since he turned it on, it began to show something other than black and white.
Oh, this is the best part,
Ryan proclaimed happily and got himself into a more comfortable position.
Watch it with me, sis. It's gonna make you laugh for sure.
And I looked, expecting to see the episode I'd been pretending to watch for the past few minutes. However, it wasn't the Big Bang Theory that came on the screen. No. There were recordings of me. I remembered. I watched as the footage focused on a younger me, walking into the kitchen and finding my mother unconscious on the floor with a blood-stained knife next to her. Her wrists were pouring with blood from the cuts she had carved into her veins, and I heard myself scream at the horrific sight and cradled her fresh corpse with tears streaming from my eyes. The video changed, and this time it focused on Ryan fighting healthcare workers in a fit of narcotic-induced hysteria, like a wild animal in a cage. He scratched and bit and screamed at the top of his lungs, to the point where I swore the screen cracked slightly. Stop it, I pleaded and covered my eyes. Stop it! Why? Ryan asked, dumbfounded. This is what you wanted, wasn't it?
I never wanted this.
I screamed and threw the remote straight at the screen, sending the TV back on the floor with a loud crack, and the images stopped playing. I backed up to the farthest wall in the room and tried the entrance door to get out, but it had been locked shut.
Let me out of here!
I shouted at the top of my lungs and began to bang at the door, desperate to do anything to be let out from that hell. This wasn't what I wanted in the slightest. Everything hurt to the bone. All the pain, the agony, the desperation to grasp an ounce of the life I had been denied. This was all too much for me to handle. And now, I had come face to face with what I had been hoping to escape from.
Sweetie, this is what she wants it.
I heard my mother say from somewhere in the back, her tone kind and welcoming, unlike what she had been before. This deceiving feeling of contentment that seeped off her from where she stood was like a toxin and was poisoning us all. Poisoning me. I slowly turned around, seeing Ryan and my mother standing there, still as statues, with their faces still flickering.
This is what you wanted.
They spoke in unison, their voices not theirs anymore.
This is what you always wanted. Wasn't it?
Who the hell are you?
I whispered and pushed myself as far back as the wall would allow me.
You remember me.
The TV began to move and the static cracked open. A long, thin static arm came out of the gaping hole and slowly started to climb out and onto the floor. Its limbs were long and disproportionate, flashing with distorted images like the screen it had escaped from. Once it was out, it got up to its full height, towering over all of us, to the point where it had to bend its head under the ceiling to move freely. It tilted its head at me, like a curious creature in need of understanding.
Why are you rejecting the gift I provided you with?
Its voice sounded like it was comprised of segments from different channels, one for each word it spoke.
I never wanted this. This isn't what I wanted,
I retaliated.
Is it not?
It asked.
You wanted a perfect home, a mother who adored you, a healthy but mischievous brother, a nice boyfriend, a good life. That's what you asked of me. I delivered.
I fell to my knees and covered my face as I sobbed.
I want to go home.
But sweetie, my mother said in her normal voice, this is your home.
No, it's not.
Then what is your desire?
Just let me leave.
I pleaded with it. Silence filled the room again, and I relished in the ability to hear nothingness.
Very well,
said the creature.
As you wish.
I sat up, drenched in sweat, and my heart beating 1,000 miles an hour, gasping for air like a drowned man who had just reached the surface. If you've ever been held underwater for longer than you can hold your breath, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It hurts all over, your muscles ache, and it pains you more to breathe than it did under the water.
Miss, you're up, said my therapist, taking down some notes on his notepad. There was a subtle smile painted on his lips, akin to a Picasso painting, and the longer I looked at him from where I sat in my chair opposite of him, the more I felt inclined to take those bleached teeth straight from his jaws and force them down his throat. The TV that stood in front of me continued to flicker, as was the intent for this kind of treatment. I didn't know much of it, and at the time I could care less. All I had been promised was that I would be free of the pain that continued to torment me every single day of my life since my mother's suicide and my brother's descent into madness from his addiction. I didn't know the specifics, and I didn't need to know them. The result was all I had been aiming to achieve once I agreed to the treatment. But now, if I could change it all back to how it was minutes earlier, I would have done so in a heartbeat.
You bastard!
I seized and jumped up to my feet. One move from snapping at the man who sat there for the duration of the procedure.
You said everything would be fine. That the chances of me slipping, as you so generously put it, would be slim. You said I would be fine.
I never specifically stated that I would be guaranteed. He pointed out nonchalantly, his smile never fading, as he continued to scribble down whatever came to his mind. You're one of the first ones who tried this treatment, and your experience will be useful for further development. The static strategy is not an old method, miss, but it is a developing one. One that can help us delve into the minds of those who suffer, such as yourself.
Like hell!
Without hesitating, I picked up the remote and threw it straight at the TV with as much strength as I could muster. It successfully landed a blow to the screen, shattering it into 1,000 pieces and rendering it ultimately useless. Still, it continued to flicker with those black and white dots, and it only added more salt to the open wound that was my mental stability.
You said this would help, you shrink. Yet all it did was make me relive what I was trying to avoid.
You can't run from your past, miss, he said, not unnerved by my anger in the slightest. The sooner you come to terms with your mother's death and the declining state of your brother's addiction, the sooner you can move on.
Move on? You think it's that easy just to move on?
I didn't say it was, but I considered this progress.
Of course you did,
I grumbled sourly and picked up my bag from the seat.
Consider this our last appointment.
Before you go, he put the notepad aside and folded his hands together. How was it to go back there, to an ideal life?
It wasn't ideal.
It must have been, for a short while, that is.
It was fake.
You knew the risk when you agreed to the treatment. This is what you wanted. Surely you must have gotten something out of it. Before I opened the door that led out of the office, I paused for a bit as my fingers grazed the handle.
Ideal. Was it ideal to wake up to a good breakfast with your mother and brother, even though you knew that all of it was a lie? I guess there was some sense of happiness in those walls. But for whatever it was worth, it was almost too ideal for comfort. Without a word, I stepped out of the office and slammed the door behind me.
I was quiet for the whole time I spent getting back to my filthy apartment. I should have probably cleaned up the many emptied bottles of liquor that lay stranded about in almost every corner of the living room. But like always, I postponed it and cooked myself some easy noodles with whatever ingredients I could scavenge from the fridge. I ate my meal in silence, thankful for the taste of something real. It wasn't anything grand or fancy like that, but it satisfied my hunger nonetheless. I tried to suppress the memories of what had happened earlier, but nothing I did, be it eat or drink my liver out, would do the trick. I had hoped that the treatment, as stupid as it sounded, would be successful in making me forget, or at the very least come to terms with it. But it didn't. All it left me with was a false fantasy that was too good to be true, for a short while at least. After finishing my meal and downing a couple of beers along the way, I sat down in front of the TV and decided to watch some of my favorite shows. It was a nerve-wracking thing for me to sit in front of it, considering the nightmare I had been forced to endure. But I went along with it anyway. The screen flickered with static for a brief moment before it resumed playing the show. I sat there for a couple of hours until the darkness clouded the skies outside, and I felt sleep weigh heavily down on me. Deciding that now was the time to call it a night, I shut the TV off and turned to go to the bathroom. The TV suddenly turned back on again behind me, the sound of static interface overwhelming the room.
"Sis, we're waiting for you,"
I heard Ryan's distorted voice coming through the speaker.
"We miss you. When will you be back?"
I felt my heart drop to the bottom of my stomach, and I slowly turned back to the TV, afraid of what I could expect to see. The outlines of my brother and mother stood there, their faces twisted to match the static that surrounded them, with that creature poised behind them like a macabre family photo. I hurried back to my feet and stormed out of the apartment, not stopping for a moment. Behind me, I could hear their words echoing like an unseen audience in a show.
"We'll be waiting for you. We're always going to wait for you,"